Good morning, good morning, and good morning, and welcome to yet another episode of Popping Off with Phil the Podcast. Happy Tuesday, co-host. We're doing something today that we have not done in a very, very long time. Record from the car. It's going to be a busy day today, but it's going to be a busy day today because something wonderful happened. A really good friend of mine gave birth to a beautiful baby boy today, so congratulations to the happy couple. Everybody's doing well, and that is all that you can ask for as a new mother, as a new father, bringing a baby into the world, is that the baby is okay, especially being Black people, and being that Black mortality rates for women are extremely high when it comes to childbirth, which is ridiculous and unacceptable and so many other things, but we don't have any of that to report today. Everybody is doing well, and I am grateful, and it kind of sets a tone for what I wanted to talk about today, which is communicating, parenting. I'm not a parent, so I guess I'm not going to give you a direction on communicating per se as a parent, but you know, every time I get the opportunity to spend time with my father, I learn something different. And this past weekend, my father and one of my brothers were in town for graduation, and you know, they got an opportunity to stay with me, and I got an opportunity to spend time with each of them together, separately, to talk, and you know, about life and what's going on with them, and that's always a blessing. It's always a blessing. But I learned, which I always do when I speak to my father, that this idea or this concept of parenting is a ever growing, ever changing evolutionary process. And the best parents are those who are willing to evolve, but most importantly, those who are willing to take ownership and responsibility for, we'll say, mistakes, for lack of a better word, that they've made in their parenting. And one thing I can say about my dad is that he's that guy, you know? You know, in conversation, he made a revelation that there was a series of events that happened in our family that he now knows, now realizes, now accepts, required therapy, you know, required us sitting down and working through those particular things as a family, you know, and maybe individuals of the family needed therapy more than the entire family, but it, you know, from a family perspective, everybody was affected by these events, events of loss, you know, loss of loved ones, loss of those individuals in our lives that were influential, and how that period of time for our family was really rough, and we could have used some outside assistance in order to navigate that space, and how those things have affected other situations in our family. And I think what I took away from that situation, in addition to how incredible he is in terms of acknowledging things and trying to move forward and trying to not repeat the same mistakes, is how important communication is between children and their parents, and how important communication is with any of your loved ones. You know, I told my brother, I said, you know, no one's a mind reader. And we do ourselves a great disservice when we make assumptions about how people feel, what they're thinking, because we don't know unless we ask. And if we don't give people an opportunity to share and express themselves and tell us what's going on or explain certain situations, we'll never know. We'll never know. And it's one of the gravest mistakes that we make, because a lot of us have this, I'll call it unrational, fear of communication because we believe that it's going to be confrontational. You know, we believe that it's going to be a fight. We believe that it's going to be a situation where no one really actually hears us. And what I find is that that is our own defense mechanism. Because the things that we often fear in terms of conversation are how we see things. But there's no true indication that the other person sees things that way. And we have to break down this barrier that disallows, I don't know if disallows is a word, but we'll use it today, that disallows us those opportunities to just talk, you know? I find myself encouraging people to have those conversations more. Parenting isn't easy, you know, and I get that. I get that now as a child, and I know what some of my process has been to heal some of the things that I didn't understand as a child, things that happened in my childhood, to reconcile the differences between the childhood I had and the childhood that my brothers had. Therapy has been wonderful in that. And I think what I've learned is forgiveness. I've forgiven my parents for things that I didn't understand, things that I thought were unfair, things that I thought could have been handled differently, because I realized that I had two parents who loved me, who were young, who didn't envision raising a child in the way that they had to raise a child. You know, like I believe that at the end of the day, you know, if they wanted children, we'll just say this because I don't know for sure, like I've never had this conversation, like, did you want kids? So if they wanted kids, that I think that they probably envisioned having kids in an environment like they were raised, where they had parents that were married, and whether they loved or liked each other, they were at least together. And I think that that's probably how they envisioned raising a kid. And that's not what happened. A kid was brought into the world and they weren't together. And there wasn't really a clear path of being together. Like, that wasn't really truly an option. Like, being a family in the sense of a mother, a father, a husband and a wife and a kid. That wasn't an option. And so when that wasn't an option, they had to retool, they had to rethink, they had to figure it out. And, you know, people like autonomy, people like control. And it's hard to do that when it is a household that's divided. And that was literally the situation that I was in. And so I know for a fact that people did things, by people, I mean my parents, there were things that were done that were selfish acts that had very little to do with me, but were done in the name of me, in the name of protecting me and in the name of loving me, you know, but those things had very little to do with me. It was ego. It was pride. And I felt that, you know, I was the recipient of the fallout of those attitudes. But therapy, thank God for therapy, brought me to a place where I'm an adult now, you know? And so I've reconciled those things. Some of those things I was able to reconcile with my mom before she passed. Some of those things I'm reconciling with my father today, you know, in present time. And I think it's important to realize, because I think sometimes we forget this, that our parents are very much so human, and humans are flawed, and at their best, they can still mess up, you know, but they do the best that they can, and as they learn and they grow and they evolve, they really do try to understand their children, because in a lot of ways, we're very different from our parents. You know, even though there might be some similarities, we're different. We grew up in different generations. We've learned to process things different. We've experienced different things. And your experiences are what shape you. That's how you think about things. That's how you navigate life based on your experiences. And I'm just learning that a little conversation goes a very, very long way. Expressing yourself, telling them things that you don't understand or you didn't understand, or why were things handled this way? Because parents are naturally very protective. And I learned this from watching Oprah having a conversation. Oprah was having a conversation with, I don't even remember who she was having a conversation with, but she was basically saying that, you know, parenting goes in stages, and there's a period of time where you are less of a do this, do that, do as I say, which is what we would call parenting. And you really do transition into this role of consultant. And it's more or less, if you have a relationship with your parents where you know, trust them and respect their opinions on certain things, the conversation doesn't become, it's not about them telling you what to do. It's about what would you do in this situation, or how do you think I should handle this? It really becomes a situation where they're consulting you based on their life experiences of what they feel the best route or option is. Now, listen, I understand that everybody doesn't have and isn't going to have this type of relationships, these types of relationships with their parents. And it's for a myriad of different reasons. You know, some people have lost their parents. Some people are estranged from their parents. But I think that part of the process of being an adult and part of the process of healing from past trauma is getting to a place where you begin to kind of resolve some of those things. If you can resolve them with your parents, that's great. But if you can't, try to resolve it within yourself. But I think that the first step is just trying to have that conversation, trying to say, this is where I'm coming from. This is how I feel. This is what I think. I'll give you an example. You know, my parents were extroverts in every sense of the word. And they birthed an extrovert. But what if I wasn't? What if I was an introvert? You know, we oftentimes give advice or guidance or suggestions based on how we view situations. Very rarely do we take ourselves out of situations like, well, wait a minute, I'm an extrovert. It's easy for me to be in this situation. I don't have anxiety. It's easy for me to be in this situation. I don't suffer from depression. It's easy for me to be in this situation. But what if you have a child, a friend, a loved one who's the polar opposite of you? They are somebody who's an introvert. They are somebody who finds themselves being anxious. Like, they don't process and they don't navigate the world in the same way that you do. And so it takes understanding to get to a point where you say, I get it. But if you don't ever have that conversation, then people don't understand. You know, and we all have a really bad habit of talking to outside people instead of the person that we're trying to resolve the issue with. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, people are going to run things past people that they trust. A good girlfriend, a good guy friend, someone in your family that you have that type of relationship with. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But at some point, you actually have to have a conversation with the person you're in conflict with. You know, you actually have to say, hey, I understand you're trying to be helpful, but let me explain to you why that suggestion doesn't work for me. You know? On the flip side, you have to be receptive, and you also have to be, you have to offer grace to people who are trying to understand. You know, I've definitely observed situations in my family and outside of my family and friend groups where there isn't a lot of grace given to someone who is trying to understand. You know, it's interesting because, you know, me and my father have definitely, you know, I've come out to my father, so my father knows that I'm gay. We've had that conversation. And we've reached an impasse. There's a point where we agree to disagree, and that's perfectly fine. That's life. I know that my father loves me, and I'm good with that. I've moved past that point in my life where it's like I need him to accept all of these things, because I know that there are some things that he probably will just never accept. But I appreciate evolution. And we were having a conversation, And, you know, my dad's at that point in his life where he's very interested in being a grandfather. Because that's part of the life cycle. You have kids, you raise kids, you give them all the tools that they need in order to be successful, productive citizens. In our situation, you give them the tools to be Christians, because my father is Christian, and, you know, and to have faith and have a relationship with God separate from other people. You give them those tools, and then the return on your investment is seeing your child do things like graduate from college, graduate from graduate school, buy a house, start a family, you know, have their own version of the dream. And you get a chance to stand by and watch that and dip in and consult when consulting needs to happen. And children, grandchildren are part of that. And I understand it, because I know from being a grandchild and knowing the differences between my parents' relationships and my aunts and uncles' relationships with their parents, that my relationship with their parents was very, very different. And I know that being a grandfather, being a grandmother, you know, is a second chance for a lot of people, because people aren't crazy. They do realize that they're not perfect. Life isn't perfect. And they didn't always do the things for their children that they wanted to, because they were just in different positions in their lives. You know, my grandfather was a worker, you know, he was working. And my grandmother, for the most part, stayed at home, which is something that my grandfather wanted, because he wanted, you know, her to be at home with the kids and yada, yada, yada. But when I came along, my grandfather was retired, you know, almost retired. He hadn't retired yet. Retired maybe 3 years after I was born, he was tired. So I really did have him at my full and utter disposal. You know, things that I wanted to do, things that I wanted to experience, he was available so that I could do those things. I never would have gotten through being in Mosaic without his support. You know what I'm saying? Picking me up, getting me to rehearsals, giving me money towards, giving me money towards programs, you know what I'm saying? Paying for certain things. But he was retired, and he was in the position where he could do that. And so he did. And I was the only grandchild for a number of years. And so, hey, I really benefited from him being probably in a better place financially than he was when he was working. And definitely in terms of time, he had all this autonomy over his time. So our relationship is very different from the relationship he had with his sons, my father, and his daughter. And so, you know, my dad was like, I guess I ain't gonna never get my second chance. I'm like, man, you got three boys. Two of them aren't even 30 yet. I'm sure you're gonna have kids. And he knows, at least I've expressed this, he knows that I want to have kids. But we were talking, he was like, you better adopt me a grandkid, man. I mean, he said it in a joking manner, because I realized that my father and I's comedy is very similar. We laugh at the same things, we process things similarly. So I got the joke, but I just marveled at the evolution, because it was like, well, at least he ain't talking about me getting married, him having a daughter-in-law. He's just like, I want a grandkid. So I'm grateful to see that. But that has come through conversation, and not always easy conversation, about the fact that the reality is I'm a gay black man, and there's nothing that he did or didn't do to precipitate the fact that that's who I am, you know? And I'm extremely grateful that we can have that level of conversation, that there can be that level of openness. Now, I mean, you know, we don't talk about everything. Like, I don't be like, well, you know, what do you think about this relationship situation? Like, we ain't got there. Because my father says he knows women in cars, and, well, I ain't dating a woman. So I don't know if he could really offer that much advice about navigating certain aspects of a relationship. But what I will say is, maybe not dating, but I do know that my father has the tools and the capability of navigating a healthy marriage. And that's something I want. And that's something that I admire about him. And, you know, whether it's married to a man or married to a woman, the concepts you know, of making sure that that relationship stays and remains healthy and flourished are, I believe, are universal in a way. You know what I'm saying? Being kind, being thoughtful, being understanding, and being flexible, you know? My dad talks a lot about, you know, the prayer that he's been in over the years to ensure that, you know, he remained present in the marriage. You know what I'm saying? And that's something that's useful to who, no matter who you are. You know what I'm saying? Like that concept of realizing that things are going to change, people are going to change, but continuing to ask to that you sustain that same desire that you had when you met this person, you know, that's a thing. And I want that thing. And so all of that comes through conversation and understanding that my father's a man first, and that he's a father and he's a husband. He's all these things second, you know what I'm saying? So understanding him as the man separate of the other duties that he has assumed as he's grown and matured. But again, it all comes through conversation. You know, understanding that, you know, for me, a hard pill to swallow is that I have two adult brothers who are very capable of making their own decisions and choices, who are going to make their own decisions and choices, that are going to do, they're going to do what they feel is best for them, whether I agree or disagree. And as much as I would love them to remain my babies, they aren't. And so our conversation has had to change. You know what I'm saying? Because I've had to change. I don't know if I don't think they've had to make the same level of adjustment that I've had. But like I was telling someone else this past weekend, I said, when your siblings are that much younger than you are, then there's something about you that always kind of remains in this space of being very protective. Like, I literally see my brothers like my children. They're my babies. And I am probably more, at least in my mind. Obviously, I can't put restrictions on them, but I'm probably more strict about how I think things should be done than my parents are. You know, it's crazy. I remember I was home one time and Jamal, my youngest brother, was driving to East Lansing, to Michigan State, to, I guess, drop something off to Jordan or pick Jordan up, whatever the case is. And I was like, yeah. I'm like, let me know when you get there. Call me when you get there. Let me know you're safe. My parents are like, all right, see when you get back. And I'm like, y'all just let him drive up there in the dark at night? He's like, yeah. He goes and picks up Jordan all the time. Or he goes and drops stuff off. Or he's the one who brings Jordan back, you know, goes to pick him up when it's time to move out of the dorm. And I'm like, are you kidding me? It's snowing outside. You know, like, that's my whole attitude towards the whole thing. It's like, you know, I mean, he wasn't like an adult at that time, but he was definitely like, you know, 18 and he could drive, whatever the case is. I was just like, this is crazy. In my mind, like, this is crazy. Let this boy drive this distance. But I get it, you know, and that's that whole having those conversations, realizing that, you know, they're not just my baby brothers. They are young Black men navigating life, trying to figure things out. They have a voice, they have an idea, they have a brain, they have a mind, you know, and they have a right to express it and lift it and all those good things like that. And it's my job to understand that and have conversations with them so that I can understand them a little bit better, you know, so that when I make suggestions or when I offer advice, I'm offering it from a place where I understand where they're coming from. You know, nothing's worse than somebody telling you what it is you need to do. And you have an idea about them that couldn't be further from the truth. You know, I don't want to be that closed-minded. And so it's something that you really just have to work on and work through. So this podcast today, as I drive in my car in traffic, because Atlanta wide open, it is really just about the importance of conversation and communication. And not just with, you know, I guess the segue was parenting, because that's kind of ever present in my mind, because I have a friend who just became a parent, and I spent this past weekend with my dad and we were having conversations. But I almost saw an accident. crazy. Thank goodness that truck had the brakes, my lord. But anyway, getting off topic. It's about conversation. It's about communication. I know I've said this before, but I like to reiterate it. Oh, this person doesn't know where they're going. That's what's the problem. Okay. That conversation does not automatically mean confrontation. You know? We have to talk about things. You know, we have to seek to understand where someone is coming from and not automatically assume that they won't agree, that they won't understand, that they don't get it. Because again, we do ourselves a great disservice when we do that. And you never know. I know so many people who were so fearful about the process of coming out and being honest about who they are and what their truth is because they assumed that the reaction would be adverse, that it would be, you know, damning. And granted, people may not understand, people may take the time to process, but that's the grace that you afford people, an opportunity to get it. Not necessarily to accept it, but to get it, you know what I'm saying? People have, you know, whether it's right or wrong, people have ideas and dreams for their children. And when we decide that, well, not decide, but when we, well, I guess when we decide to live our truth, whatever that is, I am gay, I am trans, I don't want to be a doctor, whatever those things may be, however big or small they may be. In that moment, a person just needs an opportunity to process it. And we've been in that situation, you know, we've been in those same situations. Maybe it's not necessarily life altering and somebody saying, hey, I want you to know that I'm a guy and not a girl, or I'm gay and not straight. But we've all been in situations where somebody has delivered news that took us aback, that was jarring. And, you know, it's like, oh, well, I didn't expect to hear that, or I didn't expect for you to say that. I didn't expect that to be what was going on. And it takes a minute to process. And I think that process, that space is grace. Basically giving that person an opportunity, giving yourself an opportunity to be like, oh, okay. Or, you know, giving me time. I guess people say it all the time, I need you to be patient with me. That's what it means. I just need you to be patient with me while I figure this out, you know? But you don't get to that place unless you begin to communicate and talk to people and try to figure things out, understand where people are coming from. Now, at the end of this conversation, you could decide that that ain't good enough, or you need more, or that ain't cool. And that's fine too. But at least create the avenue where conversation can be had so that you can, at least when you arrive to whatever choice you make, whatever decision you make, you can say that I did it thoughtfully, and I did hear that person's side of the story, and I just agree to disagree, or I don't believe it, or I don't think that was a good enough reason. But you got to give yourself that opportunity. I believe that you do yourself a disservice when you don't, to open up the door, open up the window, open up the walkway, whatever you want to call it, the pathway to kind of communicating and getting those thoughts out, because I think it's important. So that's this week's podcast, communication. Get into it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting. Thanks for loving on me. Thanks for pushing me. Thanks for checking up on me. Thanks for holding me accountable to the fact that it's like, hey, I need this content, brother. Continue to like, continue to rate, continue to post, continue to share for those individuals who may need to hear it. I'm appreciative of it all. And I gotta go because I don't know exactly where I'm supposed to be and my GPS isn't on. So I will holla at you later. Have a great Tuesday and a wonderful week. Peace.